flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Pull up a stool and join us. 585-866-4FAN. 866-4326. The Sports Bar with Danger and Battaglia on the Sports Leader. 95.7 FM and AM 950. The Fan, Rochester.
There was some soreness afterwards, but I don't know if it's an injury or not. It's just, you know, what I'm being told is hamstring soreness, and so he'll be limited today with that.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott giving an update on linebacker Matt Milano coming off a great game against the Baltimore Ravens. And I bring up the injuries, Gino, because the Chiefs just put out their injury report, and everybody practiced for the Chiefs today. They're healthy.
They're healthy.
Bills are healthy-ish as we welcome in Bart Winkler, who you hear late nights on The Fan Rochester from the Infinity Sports Network. It's always good having you on to talk some NFL, buddy. Appreciate the time. And here we are. It's Bills and it's Chiefs, which I believe, and you're on the national platform, so you probably have a better sense of this than we do here in Western New York. I believe it's probably like, 97, 98% of the country that wants to see Buffalo win this game come Sunday night?
I don't know what you're listening to. This is Chiefs country, my guys. We want the three-peat, baby. No, you're right. You're absolutely right. No, I'm just being stupid.
Well, you know what? Before we talk, I got to give Bart credit. Bart, crack me up. I got to know, how was the Bucks parade for the NBA Cup? Because I know you were there. I know it was a big deal. Can you paint a picture for us, as they say?
I was the only one there. I had my own parade. I don't know. It was a competition, and they won it. Why's everybody got to clown this thing? It's a stupid tournament. But if you're in it, you gotta embrace the stupid, is what I'm learning. So I embraced it, but I was the only one there.
And Bart, going out at like what 2 a.m. local time, Milwaukee. Abandoned downtown. Here I am. Yeah. Where's everybody? Bart, we're high on the Bills here, and I don't want you to just kind of blow smoke at us. I mean, is this going to be different this year? Does this feel different? Or is this just the team in Kansas City that Buffalo's just not going to get by?
Well, I don't know. I'm optimistic that the Bills can do it. I do think that there is a different feeling to Buffalo. I think in watching that game on Sunday, it kind of felt like the Ravens were playing the role of the Bills the last few years, and the Bills were playing the role of the Chiefs, where in these kind of battles, I don't think the Bills can make a single mistake. And I don't think they really did the other night. The Ravens made several. You can't make a single mistake, and especially against the Chiefs team, who I don't know if this is the best Chiefs team. I don't think it is. And this may be like, maybe it is the biggest gap between talent on the Bills and talent on the Chiefs. I think the Bills are a better team. But the Chiefs, and this is what I've been harping on all year, is I think they have figured out what they are best at, and that is winning games by one score. It's not scoring 30 points. They barely, if ever, do that. It's not, you know, holding teams to under 10 points. They barely, if ever, do that. It's to winning these games 23-17. It's to having these slow prodding games where they play a little field position, get field goals when they need to, get touchdowns when they need to, And then at the end, you put the ball in Patrick Mahomes' hands, and it's a 3rd and 12, and the whole stadium is ready. This is finally going to be it. And he scrambles for 13. I think they've figured out exactly how to win these kind of games. I think there's been a lot of discussion about, like, the referees. You know, Houston's upset is now it happened to them. I don't the referees, there's no script. There's no we got to get Taylor Swift in the Super Bowl. We already did that. So that's not happening again. But there is a factor of the referees in these games, and that's that the Chiefs have figured out, okay, in these close kind of games, what are the margins? What are the margins in close games? Turnovers, weather, field position. Oh, the referees. So let's use that to our advantage. Patrick Mahomes on that play where the two Texans collided heads together the other day, and then there was a foul on them for roughing Mahomes, even though he was unharmed. He could have gone out of bounds easily twice, but he was sort of dancing around the middle of the field, waiting for guys to converge on him, which he then fell, and then two Texans crash test dummied each other. And that's by design. Mm. So this kind of stuff is what you're going to have to fight against. It's not luck. It's not, you know, rigged. It's a very detailed preparation that the Chiefs have figured out, in my opinion. And I think that's what Buffalo is going to need to overcome. And I think this version of the Bills is more equipped of that than they have been in any of these previous years. So, I mean, it is my hope that they win. It is the nation's hope that they win. Please, please, please win. Other than that, you know, we can only wait and see what happens.
Well, it's funny, Bart. You mentioned all those things about Kansas City, and if I didn't know you were talking about the Chiefs, I could say you're talking about the Bills, because winning one-score games used to be a thing that was tough for the Buffalo Bills. They didn't win a lot of one-score games. Now they do it with regularity, and they do score 30 points a game. And you do have a quarterback, like you're describing with Mahomes, who can take advantage of the opportunities that exist for quarterbacks in terms of how the game is officiated. We've seen him do it almost as much as Mahomes. I think Mahomes is probably still the best at it. And you mentioned a game last week where they didn't make any mistakes, and the Ravens looked more like the Bills than the Ravens. I mean, the Bills could go into Arrowhead. Could they go into Arrowhead and out Chiefs the Chiefs? I mean, it really could come down to who has the ball last or stealing that possession if you get the coin toss at the beginning and you defer.
That is the only way to do it. The exact phrase, you have to out-chief the Chiefs, because they are not, I mean, what, they win 15 games and there was that gimme at the end of the season. That's not a 15-win football team. The talent-wise, they are not a 15-win football team. But preparation and manipulation and the margins, that's how they got the 15 wins. So all year long, we're trying to figure out, well, who's better than the Chiefs? Is it the Bills? Is it the Ravens? Is it the Lions? And, you know, talent this, talent that, who's winning? They're finding ways to win. So you do have to out-chief the Chiefs, as stupid as it might be. And I thought that all season long, I thought the Chiefs could get got in the playoffs, but I thought it would be one of these teams that, like, junked it up. I thought it'd be like a Steelers that could do it, or like a Broncos that could do it. But it's got to be Buffalo. It's got to be the team that has been against them time in and time out. This has to be Jordan beating the Pistons and the fourth crack at it. This has to be this. And so here's another thing with the referees, if I may, because I do think that there is human element in the game, and I don't think that the referees, please, have not taken a single penny in any way, shape, or form for the Kansas City Chiefs to win. But when they get on that field, and they've got Andy Reid, and they've got Patrick Mahomes, and they got Arrowhead, they've got years and years and years of, okay, we don't want to anger these guys. We don't want to call this play. We don't want to do whatever. And I'm not saying that the refs are going to start to feel bad, okay, or like give Buffalo a freebie. But if there was ever a game where they were really looking at, okay, if the Chiefs are going to win, we got to make sure it's not because of us. We got to make sure it's because they're on a court. We don't want to be the story on Monday morning. It's going to be this game where Buffalo's riding high. Buffalo's finally got the chance to Cody Rhodes finish their story. It's got to be this game. So I think the biggest factor that the refs could have is their desire to be a non-factor. And if that's the case, I think that affects the Chiefs more than it does Buffalo.
Bart Winkler, our guest, Infinity Sports Network. Bart, if we can go down this path for a second, because I don't, well, I guess baseball does this with the extra, umps in the outfield, but this was a Bills-Texans playoff game. This was Josh Allen's first playoff game, and it's a second-half kickoff, and Houston makes a mental mistake, and they let the ball bounce in the end zone. Buffalo recovers, and then all of a sudden, these shadow officials come out. It's like these officials that were overriding. I don't know if you remember this or not, but it's the trust factor we have in officiating that, hey, we get to this point in the season. We don't exactly fully trust the officials out there. We have to have these guys dressed in black on the sideline in case something disastrous should happen in a game. And that doesn't exactly build trust with an audience.
Well, I don't think that I think – you know, bringing in more officials, and I think the whole design of that is, okay, we really want to get it right, and these are the games that determine a championship. I don't, on principle, like that there's a difference between regular season and playoffs in anything. I don't like that it's different in overtime. I don't like that it's different when you bring in different officials. I don't like that baseball changes the rule in the playoffs. I don't like any part of that. So I don't like that, and you're right. There's a lot of things that the NFL has done inadvertently to maybe get people to want to think conspiracy. And that's really like the only way that it makes sense what Kansas City is doing. Because I know we lived through the Patriots dynasty and we're living through the Chiefs dynasty. And I hear these coaches, and John Harbaugh was talking about it this week with the Ravens. He said, this is hard. This is hard to do. You can't just get to the Super Bowl every year. And he is right. He is right. Dan Campbell said that this is hard. It's so hard. Buffalo knows that. It's so very hard. But it's hard to have that argument when somebody is doing it. It's hard to say this is impossible when somebody's making it very, very possible. And because we know it's hard, and because we know how difficult it is, but because someone's doing it, we think, well, there's no way they're doing it unless there's some sort of fix in, because we need that to explain the travesty of these losses year in and year out to the same team. So I understand why there might be some apprehension. But I do think and they're not going to be like, oh, that's pass interference, I'm not going to call it because, you know, it's a big game. But I do think they're going to be more meticulous in the kind of stuff they call. I say that now knowing that the first touchdown drive, Kansas City will have a BS pass interference and does off 7-0. So I apologize for that.
Bart, do us a favor. Rank, in your opinion, least interesting to most interesting potential Super Bowl matchups.
Okay. I think the one that everybody wants is Bills Commanders, and there would be a, you know, Buffalo-Washington rematch from however many decades ago. I think, though, the Chiefs getting back there is interesting. It may not be desired, but it is interesting. The week won't be interesting. The media day won't be interesting. The coverage won't be interesting. The game itself will be interesting to see if they can do a three-peat. But I don't think that anybody wants that. So the Eagles winning would be interesting against the Chiefs again, because that's a recent rematch. I think Buffalo needs to get back there. I think that we need to see the guy who's been getting beat up year in and year out. We need to see them get over this hump. Washington's got a rookie quarterback. Rookie quarterback's never won a Super Bowl. So I think the one that we want would be, I want to say the most interesting, but I don't want to take away what would be compelling and interesting about a three-peat possibly happening. Although I'll have you know that the Green Bay Packers did win two Super Bowls the year after they also won an NFL championship. So technically they won three titles in a row.
No, that's a technicality. We're not counting.
No.
In a row.
You know, who did Green Bay beat in the first Super Bowl? You know the answer to this.
Well, that would be the Chiefs.
Yeah, and the Chiefs in Kansas City beat Buffalo. This goes back to Super Bowl I. You didn't even call it the Super Bowl back then on the AFC Championship game. It wasn't even AFC. It was the AFL back then. Bart Winkler, Infinity Sports Network, our guest here. Bart, what makes me, I don't want to say maybe nervous, a lot of Bills fans nervous, certainly, if this gets close at the end. We've seen Sean McDermott, 13 seconds. We've seen him this year where, hey, you're playing this back-and-forth game against the Rams, and wait a second, that's not – you don't run on that play. You have to on the goal line. You just wasted a timeout, and you know that might have cost the Bills a game. Are we seeing, though, overall – a different Sean McDermott? Has he taken that next step, or you know, is this just kind of more of the same?
Again, I feel like this whole team is a bit different. There does seem to be a different like level of confidence, whether it's aura or just a level of belief. And what we've seen in these playoffs is what I always say is that anytime they lose, like you can pinpoint, like, okay, you pinpoint, well, who'd you pinpoint on the Ravens last week? Mark Andrews, Lamar. Okay, I don't know where Harbaugh comes in on that list. They went for two, but, you know. But it's other guys. Whenever Buffalo loses, I think you pinpoint, well, Sean McDermott did this, and so Buffalo lost. And I think he had an opportunity to do that again last week. They kicked a field goal, which I liked. I liked that move. It's always like the field goal, fourth down, it's like, what is your gut feel? And then what I always say is the only analytics that you need in sports, the only thing you need is what does the other team not want me to do, and I'll do that. Because they could have gone for it, missed it, then they're only down five, they make a field goal, okay, now we need a score, two-point conversion. So whenever you're thinking, what should we do here, don't think about what should we do here. Think about what does the other team not want us to do. That's the only analytics you need. I hope it doesn't come down to that. I know Bills fans are going to be nervous if they are leading at the end until the final whistle. That is something that, unfortunately, when you become a sports fan, that innocence does go away of prematurely celebrating. I think we've seen that with Atlanta and the 28-3. I certainly was getting ready to try to go to a Super Bowl in 2011 as a fan, or 2014, rather, when the Packers collapsed in the NFC Championship game. I haven't been able to celebrate any game until it's over. If the Bills are leading when the clock hits triple zero at the end of the game, I wouldn't even celebrate then. I would wait until the interviews were done. I would wait until the trophy was lifted. I would wait until they were out of the stadium. And I'd probably wake up Monday morning to make sure the results still stood. And then I would celebrate, because you just never know with Kansas City. So I know it will come sooner than that, but I could understand if people were a little cautious about a celebration should there be the need for one.
Bart, you don't have to worry about anybody in Western Europe. When the Bills or our region lose games, they name the game. Wide right, Music City Miracle, 13 seconds. You could throw in no goal. We have the win game. When the Bills lose, they lose in spectacular fashion. We know here the clock needs to read zero.
Oh, I feel right. A Packer fan. I mean, the onside kick, 4th and 26. Oh. I mean, the block punt against San Francisco. I know where you're at. Matt LaFleur kicking a field goal against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers when they should have gone trailing that game. I know where you're at as a Packer guy.
Hey, Bart, what about the rest of these head coaching openings that we have in the NFL? We learned today that Aaron Glenn will be going to the Jets. We learned today that Trent Baalke will not be the GM of the Jaguars because partially Liam Cohen won't be going to the Jaguars. Who's out there that's still interesting? Does McCarthy go to New Orleans? I mean, where do you think that all the dominoes kind of fall here with what's left with these openings?
I think that these openings, the teams are hiring the right guys available. It's just a matter of, is it going to work? And we're going to find that out. But I think they're hiring the right guys that are available. In the case of Chicago, there's something that I always plead to Chicago head coaches, because so many times the head coach will get in and he'll make a joke about, like, I think Lovie Smith said, we got two goals here. We're going to win the Super Bowl, but we're going to beat the Packers. And it's like, stop focusing on just one team. You're never going to win the Super Bowl that way. Ben Johnson today introduced was like, yeah, I coach in the NFC North, you know, Kevin O'Connell's good, Dan Campbell's good, and I got to tell you, it's nice to beat LaFleur twice a year. So, I mean, it's the same kind of, like, let's not be doing that.
Loved it.
I am glad, as a Packer fan, that I think McCarthy in Chicago could have been something. I really do. I've got a lot more admiration I might take McCarthy over Matt LaFleur right now, to be completely honest.
Whoa.
I think McCarthy got an unfair shake towards the end there. And I think he did a good enough job in Dallas with the circus that was around him. I would hire him if I'm the Saints, but they're not going to win a Super Bowl. But it's still, you know, it's a respectable coach that can do better. I think that I compare enough. Mike McCarthy and Sean Payton have the exact same resume. But for some reason, we look at Sean Payton taking a team and getting bounced in the first round as a miracle worker. And we look at Mike McCarthy doing that as the dumbest oaf to ever roam a sidelines. So I don't know what that is about. I don't know what Dallas does. They'll probably hem and haw and then hire Kellen Moore and then be, like, unhappy with him for years as the Deion rumors will continue for another decade. The Saints, like I said, but that situation's a mess. Jacksonville, I don't – Robert Saleh, maybe the Raiders. I mean, Tom Brady might as well coach and just have three jobs. Nobody really cares that he has two.
Yeah, right.
So I don't know. It seems like – the front runner in all these places is eventually getting these jobs. We'll just see if it ends up working out or not.
Bart Winkler, who you can hear weeknights on our station, and we do not have Sabres hockey, so you'll catch everything tonight. Bart, what's coming up here tonight we can check out?
Oh, I'd love to promote my show, but it's 6 hours away, and if you think I've started prepping by now, you're fooling yourself. So.
My God.
I don't know. We're talking football. We're talking football.
That's great. Bart, appreciate the time as always, man. Let's do it again soon.
All right. Thanks, guys. Anytime.
You got it. Bart Winkler joining us from Milwaukee, the Infinity Sportsnet here later tonight in a fully prepped show starting at 10 o'clock.
He will prep.
Of course he'll prep. It's a pro. Love that guy. Loved everything Ben Johnson said. Loved the little subtle dig at LaFleur. Loved it. Loved it. It's exactly what I want to hear.
You won the press conference.
I know.
You won the press conference.
I know. Let me have January 22nd. Let me have January 22nd. I'm excited. All right, we got to take a break and come back with Happy Hour next. Lots to unpack from what we learned from Jay Binkley earlier today. Kansas City's injury report is squeaky clean. The Bills' injury report, not so much. We'll get into that. Today's walkthrough practice.
We didn't do McDermott McLeis.
We didn't.
We could do that, but... gosh, is there a single McLeod today?
Will it's the AFC lie be yeah. told? Okay, so we'll dive into some of what Coach had to say earlier today from Orchard Park as well. Your phone calls are always welcome at 585-866 for FAN, 866-4326.
Bills, Bills, and more Buffalo Bills. 95.7 FM and AM 950 The Fan, Rochester.